The Future of Equal Access to Technology, A Commitment to the Journey at Microsoft by Jenny Leigh Fleury. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Jenny Leigh Fleury. From the editor, here is the way President Riccobono introduced this address on Saturday morning, July 15, 2017.
This next presentation is one that I've been looking forward to. It's the Future of Equal Access to Technology, A Commitment to the Journey at Microsoft. You will remember that in January of 2015, I went to meet with Satya Nadella, who is the chief executive of Microsoft. We had a very open and honest conversation about accessibility and what Microsoft needed to do and how we could be involved. I, at that meeting, for the first time, met our speaker today. And it was very clear at that time that she stood out as a passionate champion for accessibility and for making things happen at Microsoft. She's also a keen listener to the hopes and dreams and concerns that we have as an organization, and for that I'm grateful. You should also know that she's clearly someone, though, that acts in the spirit of the National Federation of the Blind. Her bio includes a quote from her. I can't say it in her accent, but she says that, in her words, my commitment is to face brick wall moments head on and climb the bloody wall rather than trying to resign. She faces the hard questions. She faces the hard situations in her own life, and she brings that to Microsoft, where she is pushing the company internally in the style that we would want to make sure that Microsoft maintains a high level of commitment. Let me say this also, though. She has figured out a way to engineer resources to partner with the National Federation of the Blind, not just on technology, where we're having very honest conversations, but Microsoft, because of this lady's efforts, has made a commitment to the KNFB reader for Windows, which is currently on sale thanks to Microsoft. Also, Microsoft has put significant resources into our Youth Slam this summer, as well as other initiatives. So here for a presentation is Jenny Leigh Fleury.
Good morning. How are you? I was terrified which quote Mark was going to use, but I think he did it bloody well. What do you think? It is a huge pleasure to be here, and I'm not from these parts. I'm not Australian either. I am from a small country across the pond, where the temperature is significantly lower than it is here in Florida. But here I am, still with a leather jacket on because it's so bloody cold in this room. But it's seriously a pleasure to be here, and I've been really excited to come. And maybe to give you a little bit of an introduction. British. I started working for Microsoft in 2005, but my background is actually a music major. So I absolutely loved the talent show last night. My God, there's some talent in this room. I came to IT by mistake. I came to it because I realized, well, I had a degree in music, I was a really bad musician, and I needed to earn money to pay my rent. And so I started working at a company called the Daily Mirror. Anyone heard of that? It's a really high quality newspaper in the UK that was edited at the time by Piers Morgan. I'm moving on. And I found that I loved it. It's all about problem solving and empowerment, and that is what grooves for me. So when I came to Microsoft, I was excited. I was excited because of the opportunity ahead, and also because as someone with profound deafness, I thought that Microsoft would be a company where I wouldn't have to speak to people every day. Because email is such a good thing. And I actually found that was not the case. People like to communicate, and you know, it's such a tragedy. And for me, as someone who was deaf, I actually hit many of those brick walls. That got me into the deaf community, which, because I'm nosy or curious, depending on your lens, meant that I then joined every disability group I could find at Microsoft. And there were six of them at the time. In fact, our VIP, visually impaired persons community, dates back over 20 years. There were six then, there's now 15. We joined them up, and I've had the just stupid honor of being the chair of that community for the last 10 years. And you know, we talk about Satya Nadella. Before he became CEO, he was the executive sponsor of that community. And my first conversation with him involved me sitting down with technology on the table and him saying, okay, tell me how this works. Fill me in. And we spent hours walking through what was great and what was not, and looking at the opportunity that we had. We have an annual conference every year called the Ability Summit, which is for our employees, and we had about 800 to 1,000 people in the last 3 years of that conference, and he spoke at 5 of the 7 Ability Summits. To say that we have a level of commitment is an understatement. And when he came in as CEO, he put in a mission of the company, which was to empower every person in every organization, and I literally cheered and self-levitated. Because I think that is, not in a bad way, I think that really is why you want to work in tech. So when I had the insane opportunity to become Chief Accessibility Officer in January last year, I jumped at the chance. And, you know, in 20 years, I'll take applause, by the way. It's early. And I've now been in Seattle 11 years, so I have an IV of coffee next to me. Cheers to Washington State. They're kind of rowdy, aren't they? But seriously, with that commitment comes responsibility. Now, in the 20 years, in fact, Bill Gates announced our commitment to accessibility in 1997. Curtis Chong told me he was at Microsoft in 1993. I was not in diapers, but, you know, significantly younger then. Curtis. We've had moments in accessibility and technology of sheer bloody brilliance in that time. And we've also had moments of ugliness. And we are very, very aware of that. But our opportunity has been to change that and to really move it forward. And so we've been focused on a few things, because if we're going to make this long-term, durable, and sustainable in the fabric of the company, then this isn't a one-hit wonder. This is about embedding it into the culture, making people with disabilities who are the talent, who are the strength that we need at Microsoft if we're going to create great accessible products, services, websites, and more. We got to make that something where we're truly inclusive. So, you know, I've been hiring some great people into Microsoft. Anil Lewis tells me that Ann Taylor is on loan to me. She's not. She is mine. And I tell you that, and I've got the microphone and Anil doesn't. And you know, what I will tell you is that Ann is doing amazing work. Ann, and I know she's listening on the radio. Anne and every other member of our blindness and low vision community is working with products like Office, like Windows, like our buildings. We now have Braille in all of our kitchens, on coffee makers, on microwaves, on tea. We have tactile strips going into our new buildings. We're working on a new unparalleled level of accessibility. And the Seattle Lighthouse is helping us with our new hires. And what she's been able to do to make us more accessible and more transparent and accountable to that accessible is absolutely fantastic. We also want to be approachable, so we redid the website, microsoft.com/accessibility. We took, if you know the old one, microsoft.com/enable, it's dead. I apologize, but it's gone. Because we found that we needed to put a lot more information out there. So there's thousands of hours of videos and how-to content across the spectrum of our products. We put out user forums. We want to hear what works and what doesn't, because your feedback is the gold dust that will help us do better in the future. We're also out there on social media. Who's heard of Microsoft Enable? Our Twitter handle? Oh, you need to add it. Mine is Jenny Lay Fluffy. They asked if I was going to change my Twitter handle when I came into this job. I said no. But also expanding services like DAD, Disability Answer Desk. Has anyone used our support service? We now take over 20,000 calls to this desk every month from customers with disabilities. And the major customer base that uses it is the blind community. So let's just talk about the products quickly, and then, you know, let's talk about some of the fun stuff. I think with our products, we've been working incredibly hard in the last couple of years to build a brand new bar of accessibility. That is across the span. Let me talk about Office for a minute. Who's heard of Office 365? You know, we're moving faster now. I mean, Office 365 is updated every month. In fact, Matt and a few others let me know of some issue with Skype with VoiceOver in the last couple of weeks, and we were able to ship a fix that is now in production this weekend. We're able to respond quicker. And in January last year, we actually relaunched all of those products, 65 different permutations of products across the Windows, Android, and iOS platforms. Brand new bar of compliance. We put VPATs up for those that want VPATs. We put them all on the website, and we updated everything. It meant that we had to re-architect several products. We re-architected OneNote to be far more accessible by design. And across the span of our products, we again really dug down deep to make sure that we had the right level of content. Whether you're using Narrator, JAWS, NVDA, or any of the other accessible technologies that are out there today. There's some fun stuff as well. Automatic alt text, which is something that we've been working with for a while, is now embedded into Office. You can pull your picture in using PowerPoint Designer with one click. Put your picture in, click a button, and it will create the slide for you and put alt text in it automatically and tell you how good it is, high confidence, low confidence, and give you the ability to edit it if you don't like what it says. Windows. Windows 10. XP's dead. Can we move on? Windows 10. You know, I think with Windows 10, we had this opportunity, and we were painfully aware of it, to really make sure that not only our first-party screen reading, magnification, came up to a brand new bar, but also our partnership with third-party providers. We can empower both, and that is our strategy. We've really been working on the usability of Narrator. Anyone use Narrator? I'd seen some waving. Waving helps a deaf girl, by the way. You can yell all you like, not hearing it. But Narrator will read controls more accurately. It's got scan mode turned on by default. There's a lot of stuff in here, and I'm probably going to blow up. But we added Braille. Right, and Braille, I know folks have been asking for some time, and we put that in the spring. You've also got 27 languages now and 6 levels of verbosity. And coming up, we've got a real big focus on magnification, on color filters. And the color filters are really cool, by the way. It came from a hack. Who's heard of a hack? Anyone hacking? No. All right, hackathon, quick. Right, so I know that we're acronym rich at Microsoft. I'm very aware. Hackathons are where you put a bunch of really smart people in a room with no light and a lot of pizza for 2 days, and you lock them in, and you go and tackle a crazy challenge that's going to empower. That's what a hack is. And some of this came from hack. Our vision and commitment to Narrator is clear and continues going forward, as does our relationship with third parties. And we were also really honored to work with the NFB and the KNFB to bring that to Windows 10, which launched earlier this year. So before I close and get kicked off this stage, let me talk about a couple of the ways in which we want to invest in the future. We've got this research division at Microsoft, and we have this hacking culture. In fact, I'm going back tomorrow to get ready for our company hackathon, which kicks off internally at Microsoft in just over a week. Some of the projects really ground me back to that mission. One of them is a project called Project Torino. We like to give things funky names. And Project Torino came from a mum in the UK who is one of our amazing researchers at Microsoft. She is a mum of a kid who is blind. And she saw education as key, and particularly empowering kids to learn how to code. And so Torino are really these just tactile pods. Imagine holding your hand up, and in it you have a cylindrical pod that has tactile different waves and triangles and different things on there. And putting those into the hands of 7 to 11-year-olds, and if you attach different wires to each of the pods, you create music. By creating music, you're learning how to code. And so we put an app alongside it, and this is a project that's going into schools in a pilot this fall. You know, the crazy thing, you know, across the span of Office, Windows, and innovation, we want to empower people to be independent, to collaborate, to just create content. We want to empower kids. And when we put this out, the folks that signed up, a lot of them were teenagers who hadn't had the opportunity to learn code in between the ages of 7 and 11. We need to work to build the pipeline of talent coming into tech. And this is one small but very significant step. And let me tell you, I'm hiring. Microsoft is hiring. We see disability as a strength. We want people with disabilities in the fabric of our company. And I can't get enough talent. I need your help to build that talent. And I'll share the last project, which some of you may have heard of. In fact, on Wednesday, there was a crew over in London, and they launched 12 projects in the area of artificial intelligence, which doesn't mean robots or scary movies. It means the ability to bring things like computer vision into the hands of people. 3 out of those 12 projects were accessibility-related, 3 of them, huge. And one of them was about colorblindness, an app called Binoculars. Download it. It's in the iOS store now. The other was something that's very personal for me, which was the ability to real-time caption, which is now embedded into PowerPoint. And the third was a project called Seeing AI. All right, who has heard of Seeing AI? Give me your hands. That is awesome. For those that haven't, this is a brand new research app. It's an example of how AI can really be used to help people to achieve more. It features all of our, I'll give you the fancy tech speak, but it features all the ways to bring in all the cognitive services into one toolkit. What it means to you is it's an app you can download. You can then point it at a barcode, and it will tell you what that barcode is. You can point it at a person, and it will tell you a couple of things about that person. It will tell you the color of their hair, whether they're smiling or not. It will also tell you their age. It's not always accurate. I pointed it at me last night, and it said I was 67. I'm not 67. We know we have work to do. That's why it's a research project. It's available in several 6 markets, and I'd really love for folks to check it out. It's also got, you can read documents with it. And so it's right there in the iOS platform. Please check it out, because these technologies really help us to lead the future. We have an unemployment rate that is criminal, in my point of view, for people with disabilities. I'm one of them. There was a time when someone told me that I would never achieve much. Boy, were they wrong. And I'm proud. I'm so proud of who I am. I wasn't always honest about my disability, but I firmly believe that it's because of it that I'm able to do what I do within the company and in a supportive company like Microsoft. So please help us to do more. Help us to get better. We want to get the word out. We want to get these products into companies, into governments. We want your feedback. So whether it's via Twitter, user voice, calling our support line and telling us what's working, what's not, we desperately want your feedback, because I believe that together we have the power to change an unemployment rate. And I think we should go after that goal. Thank you.